The Land, Water, and Conservation Fund was created in 1964 to help communities across the United States build recreation areas that include everything from skate parks to public swimming pools, as well as protecting areas like the Boise Foothills and the Hells Canyon National Recreation Area. Congress created the LWCF as a bipartisan commitment to safeguard natural areas, water resources, cultural heritage, and to provide recreational opportunities for everyone. And it has always been funded by royalties from offshore oil and gas leases, not by tax dollars. If you remember, back in early September, we did an in-depth interview about the LWCF because it was set to expire on September 30th. We are continuing that conversation today because Congress allowed the LWCF fund to expire 4 days ago. Joining me live in studio to talk more about this is Craig Gerke. He is the Idaho State Director for the Wilderness Society. And joining me on the telephone is Merrill Beeler. He is a rancher in the High Divide. He is also an Idaho State Representative from Ledore. Welcome back to the program, both of you.
Thank you.
And I want to start with you, Craig. We know that it expired on September 30th, but what does that actually mean? Because there have been projects in process, in particular in Idaho. So how does that work?
Well, I think it works. There are several things in play right now. I think that just in the big picture, as you know, there's supposed to be $900 million authorized for the Land and Water Conservation Fund. So you average that over 365 days. That means the American public's losing over $2 million every day of what's supposed to be dedicated funding to protect open spaces and recreation opportunities. That money's not allocated now, and so we're being shortchanged that much every single day that it's not reauthorized and funded again. In Idaho, a good example for a project is the one that Rose Burnell talked about last time she was here, that the Land and Water Conservation Fund is absolutely critical for her project near Arco to get going. Mm-hmm. If that project's not here, they have no other funding to go to. It's a Butte County is not a very wealthy county.
And it's actually one of the counties, not to interrupt you, Craig, that is actually losing population.
That's right.
As other
That's
counties right. in Idaho continue to expand,
yeah.
Butte County is one of the counties that is losing people. And the argument that Rose was making back in September was, if they do a project like this in Arco, the goal is to keep people, potentially bring more people in.
That's right. And there isn't really any other funding to substitute for these kind of projects. Mm. I mean, particularly for poor rural counties like Butte County, it's not going to happen without land and water conservation funding.
And Merrill, I know you just got on the telephone with us, so I wanted to bring you into the conversation as well, because back in early September when we were talking with you, you talked about some of the concerns that you have in particular in the High Divide with this fund going away. Can you tell me, I am assuming that since we're less than a week into this, you haven't seen anything dramatic. However, there are those concerns that you still have. Could you speak on that?
Are you talking to me?
Yes, I am, Merrill. Yeah, thanks.
Oh, okay.
Yes, thanks for joining us. No, don't worry about it.
I just barely got on. Thank you.
Oh, no, thank you. So what I wanted you to talk about was when you were here in early September, you talked about some concerns you have in the High Divide if the fund went away. The fund went away 5 days ago. I'm sure you haven't seen anything dramatic at this point happening, but what are those concerns that you have?
Well, you know, as we talked before, we are right here with Land Trust in Salmon, Idaho. We're working on three things. One is to create close-to-home recreational opportunities. Another one is to keep working hands on working lands. And then the third one is to maintain and enhance outdoor opportunities through access. And so we have three projects in the coup right now. And so this uncertainty creates some tenuosity as we move forward, especially with the private landowners that we're working with.
Right. And I know that was one of your biggest concerns, Merrill. Craig, tell me then exactly what has happened in Congress in recent days and where they are at in this process. Because this also is not the first time, we should tell our listeners, that this has happened. It was non-funded before, then it got the funding. So you've been down this road in the past.
Yeah, unfortunately, this has happened in the past. We hope this is not going to be, which is one reason why we want a permanent reauthorization, so we don't have this political theater every time that comes up for reauthorization. The House Representatives Committee passed a bill out before they adjourned that would reauthorize it, but they didn't address the funding. Just yesterday, a Senate subcommittee passed legislation out that both did a permanent reauthorization and full funding. So there are things in play now. They're not synced up, if you will. Each mm-hmm. bill's different, which would mean that those differences have to be reconciled at some point in time. Neither one of those bills have gone through the full chamber that they originated in yet. So there are several steps to get to reauthorization and funding that we have to see yet. We won't see any now until after the election because the House is adjourned. So they're not going to come back and deal with this until what's called the lame duck, which is the session of Congress after the election.
So we're looking at sometime in November at the earliest.
Yes.
So that could potentially put certain projects here in Idaho in jeopardy for now.
Well, very, very much so. And I think, you know, Merrill makes a good point is that these are all willing seller deals to come together. And the person who wants to go into this program wants some predictability and reliability. And I would think that every time we go through this dance with the Land and Water Conservation Fund, the federal government looks like a less of a predictable partner. So if you're wanting to, say, sell your property or put a conservation easement, do you want to deal with somebody who doesn't look very reliable? Or are you going to go to a private interest to say, okay, I'm just going to sell my land outright?
I'm speaking with Craig Gerke. He is the Idaho State Director for the Wilderness Society and Merrill Beeler, a rancher in the High Divide. He is also an Idaho State Representative from Ledore. And we're talking about the Land, Water, and Conservation Fund not being renewed on September 30th, getting updated on that. And Merrill, I know when you were here the last time, and you spoke about this briefly, is that access part in the salmon area. And hunting season is starting next week. Could something like that be affected when you don't potentially have access to certain land?
You know, absolutely. And so when I look at kind of our economy and the different things that contribute to our economy, and you look at the contribution of outdoor recreation to the state of Idaho, that's $7.8 billion a year. That's a significant. It almost matches that of agriculture. And so this is a critical, important element. And as we move forward in our state, and we know our state is growing, it's going to be important that we maintain access to public lands. And that can be jeopardized by strategic purchasing of parcels of land that actually could prohibit access to our public lands. And so this is one of the areas that we work in and are currently working in, and currently have a private landowner that we've already purchased that parcel of land. We're waiting now for funding from Land and Water Conservation and not sure when that's coming.
And that therein lies some of what you were talking about, Craig, is that uncertainty mm-hmm. when this has to come up again.
And again.
For funding again and again.
That's right.
So at this point, you have to wait. And are the odds good, though, that it will be refunded?
Well, everybody acknowledges that it's a popular program. That's in some ways, that's both good and that's both bad. Mm-hmm. Congress will bring it up, I think, in the lame duck. They have to get these differences ironed out before it passes. I mean, we saw in the committee action yesterday, there are still some politicians who want to do certain reforms to the act that are not very popular and that would create a controversy. Controversial things don't pass in Congress anymore. The other thing that's unfortunately a reality is that individual legislation really doesn't pass on its own anymore. It gets bundled with other bills. That could mean that, you know, somebody will take advantage of seeing a very popular program and try to use it as leverage to get something unpopular included in a big package.
Well, and I believe you talked about this the last time you were here on September 3rd, was that because of where the funding comes from offshore oil and gas leases, not tax dollars, that there are some in Congress who would like to use that money elsewhere.
That's right. And that's what's happened in the past. I mean, LWCF has been not been fully funded every year because Congress will go to those receipts that are supposed to be earmarked for LWCF, skim them off, and pay for other things. And I think that's one of the things we're running into for full funding authorized is some members of Congress don't want to see that because they're used to dipping into that pot to fund other projects. And they probably, some don't want to lose the ability to dip into the offshore oil releases and fund other things.
But at the same time, we're talking about things that maybe people aren't necessarily aware of, city parks. I mean, we look at the Boise yeah. Greenbelt. You look at, you know, I mean, we're talking parks not just in our big cities like, you know, Boise, Meridian. I mean, our smaller communities
Ferry,
in Idaho.
Salmon, Chalice, Stanley, all those parks have been helped by Land and Water Conservation Fund.
And if we don't have that funding, that goes away.
Yeah, those parks, I mean, places like, again, Stanley, Salmon, Chalice, Glens Ferry, they get by on very little money. And without this kind of money, we will see very few recreation sites and resources developed.
And Merrill, that highly affects where you live in the salmon area.
Well, it does. You know, one of the things, as I was listening to that, and I thought, yes, that's exactly the case. But I'm also thinking we have a... In Idaho, you know, we have more rivers and streams miles than any other state in the lower 48. And right here in Salmon, Idaho, of course, we have the historic Salmon River and the recreation that takes place on that. And that's where, you know, our children like to go and play and just have fun. And so this swimming pool in Salmon was partially funded through Land and Water Conservation funding. I am not sure we would have a swimming pool in Salmon without that funding. And that's where our children are taught to swim, to be safe in the water, and that's critical for our community.
Well, I want to thank both of you for joining me today for this conversation and getting us updated on where we are on the Land Water Conservation Fund and how it is affecting Idaho. My guest, Craig Gerke, the Idaho State Director for the Wilderness Society, and Merrill Beeler, he is a rancher in the High Divide, also an Idaho State Representative from Ledore. Thank you again, both.
Thank you.